Begin the current daf, Masechtas Gittin, daf Yud Alef. Begin 12 lines down for the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues on the theme from our previous Mishnah on the previous daf. And that is, there was a machlekes between Reb Shimon and the Tanna Kamma regarding documents that are processed in non-Jewish courts. And that is, the Tanna Kamma said that he agrees regarding regular generic documents, regarding, let's say, monetary law that's processed in a non-Jewish court, it's going to be kasher, which the Gemara explained, either because of what's known as dina de machosedina, because they are also included in these halachas of din, of educating law, and therefore what they're processing is going to be valid, even with their non-Jewish witnesses, or it's because it's actually only referencing like a shtar of mecher, where the actual kinyan is happening through the money that one gives to the other, and the document is only a proof, and it's a valid proof because the judge in a upstanding court would never write that this person sold this to that person that he gave money if it didn't really happen. So therefore, everybody agrees that regarding regular shtaris, regular documents, it's valid if it's processed even in non-Jewish courts. However, the machlekes Tanna Kamma and Reb Shimon was regarding gittin noshim mishechura avadim. Tanna Kamma held it's not valid because the non-Jewish witnesses who are creating the document are lav b'nei krisis. They can't go ahead and create, as we said, v'chasa b'nasin, only one who can give the get, who is in the category of gittin, can go ahead and write it and sign it and create the document. But non-Jews are not, and therefore they're not valid. Whereas Reb Shimon, as the Gemara explained, he goes like the opinion of Reb Elazar, who Reb Elazar holds that it's the Eid Mesiri, the witnesses in the document, the Eid Chasima, they don't create the document itself. Actually, b'chasa, the writing is going on, the writing of the text, which was done by a Jewish scribe. The processing of the get in the non-Jewish court, meaning to say that was signed in it by the non-Jews, that's not what creates it. What creates it is the Eid Mesira, which actually the Gemara says that Tanna Kamma also agrees to that. So what's their machlokes regarding gittin noshim mishechura avadim? And especially because, as Rav Abba said, Reb Elazar agrees when it's mezuyif mitoichai, when there's something intrinsically invalidating the document itself, which is if non-Jews sign in it, even Reb Elazar would agree that it's possible. So I think Gemara explained that the machlekes between the Tanna Kamma and Reb Shimon is regarding, and that's what the case of the Mishnah is talking about, when the signatures that are signed, the signatories in this get that was processed in non-Jewish courts, are what's called Shemus Mevakim. They're clearly, distinctly non-Jewish names. So there Reb Shimon says, even this halacha of Reb Abba that says it's a psul of mezuyif mitoichai, it's intrinsically a forgery, something invalidating in the document itself, even though you don't need signatures signed in it, but if you do, they have to be kosher. That's only as a concern because you might come to rely on those Eidei Chasima as Eidei Mesira, which obviously that's a problem because non-Jews for sure cannot create the halacha of the get by being the witnesses of the Mesira, which is what Reb Elazar holds Eidei Mesira karti. But when they're clearly non-Jewish names, Reb Shimon says there is no such concern because everyone knows they're non-Jews and they're not going to come to use them as Eidei Mesira, whereas the Tanna Kamma held that no, that's still a concern. We always say that you can't have non-Jew sign in it because of the concern that you might use them as Eidei Mesira. That was the machlekes from the previous daf. Now, the Gemara elaborates on this by quoting a braisa. Tanya learned a braisa. Amar Reb Elazar Reb Yisi. Reb Elazar Reb Yisi said that kach amar Reb Shimon l'chacham b'tzidin. That this is what Reb Shimon, who again was that other opinion in the Mishnah, this is what he said to the sages that disputed him in Tzidin. He was trying to support his opinion as it was quoted in the Mishnah, that af elu ksherin, that not only are other documents kosher, but even gittei noshim mishechura avadim. And he proved this point as follows. He said, loy nech leku Rebbe Kiva Chachamim, even the Rebbe Kiva and the Chacham who did argue, now he was quoting Rebbe Kiva and the Chacham because they were the generation before his generation, so he's saying even the generation before us, their whole machlekes was, they didn't argue, they didn't argue regarding any document that's processed in a non-Jewish court. That even though the signatories are non-Jews, that it's going to be kshem, the document is going to be valid. And this is what Reb Shimon is saying to support his opinion. Even they who did argue, they didn't argue that all documents that are processed in a court, that's going to be kosher, even like I say, which I dispute you in the Mishnah, even by gittin noshim mishechura avadim. So that is what Reb Shimon says. Loi nechleku. The whole machlokes that they did have, and this is similar to what the Seifa of our Mishnah says according to that version, which we had two interpretations, that it's Reb Shimon who was qualifying in the Seifa of the Mishnah, that their whole machlokes was, el bezman shenasu behedyit, only if the document was processed by common citizens, not in a court of law. Where there, Sher B'Kiva Machshav, but there, even there, B'Kiva says it's going to be kosher because he thinks everyone's going to have to come, you know, in other words, no one's going to just make a lie, just like we say by courts, because they're going to ruin their reputation or they're going to be caught in this, they're going to be prosecuted for what they're doing wrong. So he said the same thing would apply even to regular non-Jew. Every document is good, even by regular non-Jews. Now, V'chachamim Paislim, that's where, however, that the sages said, no, it's going to be possible if it's processed by regular common people, not by a judge, not by a court of law. Chutz migitei noshim b'shechuri avadim, except for gitei noshim b'shechuri avadim, that, in other words, why is there a difference in behed yoitim if it's done by hedged for regular documents for monetary law or for gitei noshim b'shechuri avadim? The reason being is because if a shtar mecher, which, as we explained in the previous daf, the actual sale is being done, the kinyan is happening through the one Jew giving the other Jew money. Now, so when the document is being written up that there was a sale that happened, the document is only being used as proof. Now, so when we're using that document, we're actually relying on the signatures who are non-Jews as the proof. So that is where we say that that's going to be possible. Because we say that, no, this is what the Chacham hold, not like Rabbi Kiva, that no, they're liars. What, a non-Jew has a problem just lying? But by Gitei Noshim, we're not relying on them. We're only relying, as Reb Shimon's opinion is, and even the Tanakhama of our Mishnah holds, like Reb Elazar, that it's the Eidim Isiri that create the get. And, as we explained the Halacha of our Mishnah, we're talking about Shemus Mufakin. We're talking about that they're clearly non-Jewish names, and therefore there's no concern. So even if, says Reb Shimon, the Machlikis Chacham and Reb Kiva was only regarding when this process by hedyaitis, by regular common people, there they had a machlekes regarding shar shtaris. Meaning, but everyone agrees, even by hedyaitis, for gitei noshim b'shechuri avadim, that it's going to be kosher. And that's because by hedyaitis, as we explained at the top of the summit from the previous stuff, it doesn't make a difference by gitei noshim, hedyaitis or not, because that's not the point of it. The point of the gitei noshim is the eidim esira. The whole concern is if it's shemus mufakim or not. Where Reb Shimon's proving his point, not like the Tanakhama of the Mishnah, that regarding Gitei Noshim B'Shechur Avadim, since it's Eidim Asiri Karti, the whole concern of Rabbah is saying Mezuif Mitoich was only if it's a non-Jewish name, but not clearly, distinctly non-Jewish. So then, you could say we might come to rely on the non-Jew that signed in it to be used as Eidim Asiri, which that would be a problem. But when it's clearly, distinctly a non-Jewish name, B'Shem is Mavakim, then not only by Arkoyis, but which that was disputed in the Mishnah, says Reb Shimon, but even actually by Hedyaitis, even by that, everyone agrees that it's going to be valid by Gitei Noshim B'Shechuri Avadim. Their whole machlokes was regarding a shtar mecher that's processed by a Hedyaitis, with then the primary function of that document, which we're relying on as a proof, are the signatures. Now that's a problem. If it's a non-Jew, we can't rely on him that there was such a sale that actually happened. But again, when it's by Arkayis, and even the Tanakhama of the Mishnah agrees that we would rely on the judges, on the courts, that this sale actually happened because Leimaro Nafshai doesn't want to ruin his reputation. So again, that's an elaboration of the Halacha of HaMishnah, which Reb Shimon is trying to prove his point from the earlier generation. Now, the Braisa continues, Reb Shimon Leilaimer, he says that actually Af Elu says, no, even these, that is of Gitei Noshim, Kesherin, they're only valid, B'makim She'ein Yisrael Chesmen, only if it's in a place, meaning even though that we're qualifying, we're saying that Gitei Noshim are going to be kosher. So now Reb Shimon Leib comes to qualify and says, when did we say that Gitei Noshim are going to be kosher? That's only in the place where Jews don't sign. What does that mean? It's a city where the non-Jews don't allow the Jews to sign on documents. Now, since in that city, Jews don't sign on documents, so everybody knows whoever it is that you have signed on the document is a non-Jew. So therefore, says Reb Shimon Leib, then we're not going to come to rely on those who are signed. And we're going to be careful that when we're using Eid Mesira, specifically not to be the Eid Chasima, because we know they're non-Jewish, and we'll do it in front of Jewish people. Aval, but says Reb Shimon Gamliel, b'makim she'Yisrael chayismin, if it's in such a city, where Jews, as in a free democratic society, Jews sign on documents. So that is what he comes to argue and qualify in the beginning part of this brisa, that even if these names are clearly non-Jewish names, they're Shemus Mavakim, still says Reb Shimon Gamliel that no, this document, this get would be possible. And the reason being is because if you said that it would be kosher with these non-Jews signed on the documents, even though they're mavakin, you might come to say a get is going to be kosher when it's signed even with Shemas she'en mavakin, which that is a problem because we said when you do it with Shemas she'en mavakin, then you might come to rely on them to be the Eid Mesira. So to clear the screen, he says that if it's a city which Jews could sign, so then we're going to run into the problem. But if it's a city that the Jews can't sign, then it's clearly a non-Jew, then we could rely on it. But again, if a Jew could sign, then even by Shemes Mavakin, we're concerned for the halacha of Shemes She'en Mavakin. Now the Gemara wonders, where does he differentiate? In other words, Makam She'en Yisrael Chaisman Nami Ligzer, why? Even in a place where non-Jews do not sign, you should still make a gezerah that you shouldn't allow this document that has a non-Jew sign in it. Why? Because you might come to allow a place where Jews do sign. In other words, you just like you said that even Shemes Mavakin, which was what Shimon's qualification was, look, Shemes Mavakin, no one's going to use him as Eid Mesira, you said no. Because you might come to use it even by Shemes She'en Mavakin. When did you allow it? If in an entire city, it's never possible for it to be a Jew. So there for sure you're not going to rely on the signatures to use them as the Eid Mesira. But why? You should make a concern that even a place where Jews don't sign, up to a place for that Jews do sign, which, again, that would be a problem because then you might come to rely on the signatures. So just like you say by Shemes Mavakim, up to Shemes She'en Mavakim. So I think more answers for Shimon Gamliel that no. Shema, b'shma machlef. Names could be confusing. What, to know that the reason why we allowed this get was because it was a clearly non-Jewish name? You might come to confuse and think that you could use it even by not a clearly, distinctly a non-Jewish name, which again, that's a problem because you might use them as Eid Mesira. But asr ba'asr le'michlef. But places, locations, geography, people don't mix up. We know this city that you can use these documents that have the non-Jew signed in it because here no Jew signed. So he knows a non-Jew. So you're not going to come to use them as Eid Mesira. But other places, you're not going to come to confuse and think that there you are able to use it because there we know that Jews could sign and therefore that's a problem that we could run into that we might come to use the non-Jewish signatures, the ones who signed who are non-Jewish, as the Eid Mesira. Now continuing on this topic that we introduced here with the Braisa, that of our Mishnah, the Gemara says that Ravina Savalach Shuri, Ravina thought to validate other documents, Bechnufisa Daramoy, by a gathering of Arameans, meaning that wasn't a court. It was just where the non-Jews get together. So Amali Rafim, so Rafim said to Ravina, no, our koi is tanan. In our mission that we allowed a regular document to be processed by a non-Jewish court, it's only by courts, not by just a gathering of the non-Jews. When they're hadyaytim, when they're not a full-fledged court, then we can't rely on them, so therefore it's not going to be valid. Another related halacha, Amar Rava says, Haishtar Parso. This Persian document, in other words, it was written in the Persian language, and Persian citizens, the non-Jews, they signed on this document, where the Masr Nahalei Ba'apes Adi Yisrael, but it was given over, the Eid Mesira, those who witnessed it being given over were Jewish witnesses. So therefore, he says, Magbinem Bei Mimnei Chari. So this could be collected from the debtor, from his assets, from available assets that he still has, which is in contrast to what's called Mishabadim, where it can't be collected from people that purchased from him from after the date that this person owed this person. But again, although that it was signed by regular Persian citizens, since they were Eid Mesira that are Jewish, that was validated at least to collect from Bnei Chayr. Now, however, the Gemara has different questions relating to this Persian document, seemingly that should invalidate it. Because B'holo Yadi, but the witnesses that were witnessed it being given over from one person to another person, they don't know how to lemikre. They don't know how to read it. They don't know what's written inside of it. So how could they testify after a later point in time regarding the contents of this document to say, oh yeah, we know that this actually happened, when they don't know Persian? So the Gemara answers, but the Adi, we're talking about the Jewish witnesses, they know Persian. Now, but the Gemara asks a different question. But you need to have that the writing on the document can't be forged. In other words, that the parchment has to have been worked through beforehand with gall nuts, but at the time when it's being processed, where there it makes it black, and therefore no one could go ahead and erase and then write over something else because it's going to be obvious that it was erased and written over, which that would create a forgery in it. Now, Valeka, You don't have that by the Persian parchments because they wouldn't process their papers, their parchments, with gall nuts. And therefore, very easily a person could erase what was written and he could leave the signatures on the bottom and then he could write on the top as much money as he wants to. So the Gemara said, but that fits, and we're talking about that it was, that this paper, even in this Persian document, was worked through with gall nuts. So again, it's not possible to be mezayif. But the Gemara asked, but there's halacha that requires that you have to sum up the whole document in the, from the primary concept in the last line. Whereas the Gemara says in Baba Basakov Samachal from Abayz that you have to write the kininim in plainly, and I purchased from that person, a koma the kasev, and whatever is written in Mefurish Lel, you have to sum it up in the bottom line. But Lekin, you don't have that in the Persian documents. So the Gemara answers, no, but the Manhadr, it is talking about that this document had it, that everything was summed up in the last line. Now, so the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if we just resolved all these questions, so it seems like a valid document where you have the Eid Mesir that were Jewish, that they know how to read it, they see everything is valid, and they're giving over one person to the next person. So Mimishabdi Nami, so then why did we say that the creditor could only collect from the debtor's properties, his assets, which are called B'nai Chayrin, and not like a regular creditor who could collect even from Mishabadim, from the encumbered properties, which were sold off after that this person owed him money, the debtor sold off his properties to other people. Generally, the halach is you could collect from Mishabadim if you have a document. So why here can you not? So I think my answer is less like kala. Here, there's no what's called koil. There's no voice, there's no word about this document. And the reason being is because the ones who signed here are not Jewish. Where the concept is that what creates the word about a document having been processed and that there's a creditor and a debtor relationship over here are actually the witnesses who are signed on the document. They create the koil. Now, therefore, we can't create a loss for the lekech, for the purchaser who purchased from the debtor in this case, because he could say, I didn't know that they were shibudim. Where generally, as the Gemara says in and later on, the Gemara says in Daf Yotzei Mabeis, where if there are Jewish witnesses, then you could collect from Mishabadim because, again, you knew that this person owed money to me, the creditor, and therefore, if you purchased, I can go ahead and collect from you. But in this case, where there's no koil, because, again, the signatures were the Persian witnesses who were non-Jewish, they don't create a koil. But, however, it is a valid document because of the Eid Mitzvah of the Jewish people, but that will only let you collect from Mechayrin, but not from Mishabadim. Now again, relating to this topic, the Gemara says, Rish Lakish asks from Yechanan the following question as we continue on to Amud Beis. Eidim ha-chasumin ala get. If you have witnesses that are signed on a document, and the presumption is that we're talking about that it's coming from Eretz Yisrael, because he didn't specify in his question that it was coming from Medina Siam for overseas. Now, v'shmeisan k'shem is evdekacham, the names of the people that are signed on the document, they sound like the names of non-Jews. Now, we don't know if they were non-Jews or Jews. So the question is, Mahu, what is the halacha going to be? Can we validate this document with the Eid Mesira who, when it's being given over to the woman, are Jewish? Now, which, as Tais elaborates on the question is, do we say that those who are signed on the document are Jewish, which, therefore, let's say, according to the opinion of Reb Meir, for sure it's going to be kosher, because the old Eidi Chasimi, the witnesses are the ones that create the document, or let's say we hold that even like Reb Elazar, that Eidi Mesir Karti, but the idea is we have to make sure that those who are signed in it are not non-Jews, because if the ones who are signed in it are non-Jews, even Reb Elazar agrees, it's going to be pasul. Now, because according to Reb Elazar, that we don't say that they're non-Jews unless we know for sure that they're non-Jews. Because, as Tais explains, it's not common that the Jewish people should have non-Jews signed on their gittin. Or maybe do you say that no, since their names sound like non-Jewish names, so we are concerned that they're non-Jews, and it's not going to be kosher, even if, according to Reb Elazar, we have the Eid Mesira being Jewish, because as we explained, he holds it is a problem when the non-Jews are signed because of Mezuzah Mitaychai, because even like the opinion of Rabbi Shimon that we quoted that says it is going to be kosher, as we mentioned in our Mishnah, he only says, as we explained in the previous Gemara, only if those who are signed are Shemus Mavakim, are clearly non-Jewish names. Now here, however, they're obviously not clearly non-Jewish names because that's our whole doubt. We're not sure are they non-Jewish or are they Jewish. Whereas by clearly non-Jewish names, there wouldn't be any doubt. It'd be obvious that they are non-Jews, because usually, again, we're not concerned that non-Jews sign in there, but if it's a clearly non-Jewish name, so there, as we said, according to Reb Shimon, so we're not concerned that you're going to come to rely on them, so then it's going to be kosher. So the question is, what is the halacha over here? Where this name could be non-Jewish, or it could be it is Jewish. Now the problem is, since it's not Shemus, since it's not Shemus Mevhakin, it's not clearly non-Jewish name, so even Reb Shimon would hold that it would be possible if it was a non-Jew. What's the halacha? What do we have to suspect over here? So Rabbi Yochanan responded, he said, look, loy bali yedenu, we didn't have such a situation where we had a get that the signatures in the get were signed by non-Jews. Ella, we only had one such an instance where the names that were signed in it were Lucas Belus and Vechsharnu, and we said that it was kosher with a demesira being Jewish. Now that's what Rabbi Yochanan comes to qualify, and he says, now it's Medavka Lucas Belus. It's specifically when you have those types of names which are clearly non-Jewish names. They're what's called Shemus Mevakin, and therefore, like Rabbi Shimon said, we're not going to come to rely on them, and therefore, we could make it kosher like the opinion of Rabbi Elazar with the Eid Messiah of the Yisrael. Now, the reason is because Delei Shechichi Yisrael, Demaski B'Shemasayu, those are what's called Shemus Mevakin, because no Jew names his child Lucas and Luz. Aval, but says Rabbi Yechon, Shemahasa Achrini, but other non-Jewish names. That it is possible that Jewish people can name their children with the same type of names, then says Rabbi Yechon, and then Loi. Then it's not going to be kosher. And therefore, regarding the question that you asked, we're going to say that the get is going to be possible. Because we could suspect that it's Jewish name, and really it's not. Really, it's a non-Jew. So therefore, you might come to rely on the Eid HaChasim of Eid HaMesira. And then again, that is the problem that we're concerned for, which is the Halach of Rebaba, saying, Mezuif Mitoichai, we have a clearly invalidating witness in the document, which is what the case is. By when a non-Jew signs in it, then that's a problem, because you might come to use them as the Eid HaMesira, again, because you don't know for sure that it's non-Jew, because it could be a Jew, and therefore that's going to be possible. Now, however, Eisvei, but Rosh Lakish asked Rabbi Yechonim from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, "Kitin ha'boim medin nesayam." Regarding a get that comes from overseas, the eidim chasum maleim, and there are witnesses signed in the get. Says the Braisa, "Afa pishishes meisayin kishemus ebdikachav." Even though the names that are signed in it are like non-Jewish names, kisherin, the get is going to be kosher. And actually, as Rashi says, even without eidim misira, and for sure it's going to be kosher if you have valid Jewish eidim misira. Now, the reason why it's going to be kosher is because we only assume, as we said from Taisus, that those who are signed in the document are Jews. Now, why? Because the majority of Jews out of Eretz Yisrael, says the Braisa, the names of the Jewish people who live out of Eretz Yisrael have the same names as the non-Jews. And therefore, there's even if the signatures are like non-Jewish names, not clearly non-Jewish names, or else we wouldn't have the whole question in the first place, even if they sound like non-Jewish names, it's going to be kosher. So on that is what Rosh Lakish is asking under Yechonon. You said only when is it kosher, when you have clearly, distinctly non-Jewish names, like Lucas and Luz, where yet here clearly we see in the Braisa that even if it's not clearly, it's still going to be kosher. Now, as Taisa explains, the assumption of the Gemara's question that Rosh Lakish has under Yechonon is that this that it says in the Braisa, because the majority of Jews in Chutz La'aretz, their names are like non-Jewish names, it's not coming to say specifically that's why if it was coming from Medina Sayyam that it'd be kosher. Because if that would be the case, then how would that relate to what Rish Lakish's case was asking Rabbi Yechon, which was when it's in Eretz Yisrael, not from Chutz La'aretz. Rather, it's just explaining the idea where it's normal to have a Jew with non-Jewish names. And the proof of that is because, like we see in Chutz La'aretz, that the majority of them have non-Jewish names. Now, but therefore, even there it's Yisrael, you don't have to be concerned that the one who's signing it is a non-Jew. Because again, as Taisa said before, that it's not normal to have a non-Jew signed in the get. Now, although it sounds like a non-Jewish name, but you see, even the Chutz La'aretz, we'll get the majority, so in there it's not the majority, but it could be very likely that the one who's signing it is a Jew with a non-Jewish sounding name. So therefore, even in Eretz Yisrael, it should be kosher, even if it's not a distinctly non-Jewish name. Now, that's what the Gemara answer is, that no. Specifically, as the Braisa said, it's only if it's coming from Chutz La'aretz that it's going to be kosher. Because, Hasim, could the Tani Tamir, Rabbi Yechon answers to Rosh Lakish, what do you want from me from the Braisa? The Braisa says, It's only because the majority of Jews in out of Eretz Yisrael, their names have the same names like the non-Jewish names. Whereas Rabbi Yechanan, who he said to, in response to Rish Lakish's question, it's only by Shemus Mavhakim, a clearly non-Jewish name that's going to be kosher, he was referring to a get that was coming in Eretz Yisrael, where there the majority of the Jewish people's names are not like non-Jewish names. And therefore, out of doubt, maybe it sounds very possible that it is a non-Jew, because Jews don't usually have non-Jewish names, it's going to be possible. And actually, even if you have Edom Assyria that are Jews, like the Rabbanan of the Mishnah, meaning even like Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, who, it's a problem. Even he only said it's going to be kosher, but Gitei Nashim, Mishchekhuri Avadim, only if you have Shemus Mavakim, where you're not going to come to rely on them for the Edom Assyria. But here, where it's not clearly non-Jewish names, we're not sure, then we have to say it's possible because maybe it is a non-Jew. And again, having a non-Jew signed in the document, even according to Rabbi Elazar, that holds Edom Assyria Karti, that creates a problem of Mezuyev, Mitoicha, and therefore it's going to be possible. Now, the Ikadarmi, that does have a different version of what this conversation was between the Shlokish and Rabbi Yechanan, then actually Kimas Nita Baimine. The question he had asked of Rabbi Yechanan was actually the same exact case as the Brisa. He asked him regarding a get that comes from Medina Sayyam, and the names have non-Jewish sounding names, and that is what he asked Rabbi Yechanan, what's the halacha? And the Pashat lay, and that's Rabbi Yechanan responded to Rish Lakish by showing him Imas Nita. He answered his question by quoting him the Brisa, where we see that such a get is actually going to be kosher, because the assumption is that those who are signed are Jews. And the reason being, although it's a non-Jewish sounding name, most of the Jews in Chutz La'aretz, their names have the same names like the non-Jews. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme about Shlichas, but specifically regarding Gitei Noshim Shechur Avadim, where again, as we said, that's the fourth area where it's actually Machlikis, Remein Nechachamim, where that there's a similarity between Gitei Noshim Shechur Avadim. So the Mishnah says, Ha'imer ten get zel le'ishti. If someone says to an agent, to a Shliach, give this get to my wife. Or a different case, v'shtar shichur zela abdi, give this emancipation document to my slave. So, imrotz alachz b'shneim, if he wants to retract by both of these agents before the shliach gets to the woman or to the slave, yach, so the halacha is, he could retract, and the shliach cannot merit it for the purpose of the woman or the slave before, and not allow the husband or the master to retract. And the reason being is, as the Gemara will later on explain, it's a liability for the slave or the woman to be divorced, and therefore he cannot have been zeich in it, because you cannot create a schi, you can't merit something for somebody that's actually a liability for them. So it's still not theirs until they actually get it when they accept it. So therefore, up until they get it, the master could still retract. That's the remer. They disagree. Here they say that it's not similar to Gitei Noshim Shechur Avadim. They say, Begitei Noshim, by a divorce for a woman, there the husband could retract, but by the emancipation document for the slave, he cannot retract. The reason being is, because you could merit something for somebody even when that person is not there or he didn't give you the okay. And therefore, in this case, the shliach, once he got it as to be an agent, not only was he serving and servicing the master, he actually started working for the slave. How so? He says, I'm going to be zoich in it. I'm not going to be just a shliach. I'm going to merit in it, which I'm allowed to be holding this. I'm an agent, but I'm going to merit it already. I'm going to be like as if I was a shliach, like a bala, for the eved. And the reason why is because it's a schus for him. And you could be zoich for somebody. You could be like his extension, like his shliach, even without the person giving you the okay. Now, however, in chavin lo el b'fanav. However, you're right. A liability could only be with the person's acquiescence, only if it's in front of the person. Now, therefore, that's the difference between a woman and a slave. Shim yirtza shalei losnes abdi rishoy, because if the master wants to not feed his slave, he's allowed to. So therefore, when he's freeing his slave, he's not making the slave lose anything, because even the basic thing like sustenance, he's not making the slave lose, because even without being emancipated, if the master wanted to, he wouldn't have to feed him. But vishalei losnes ishtei ein rishoy, but if the husband wanted to not feed his wife, he wouldn't be allowed to. Therefore, when he's divorcing his wife, there is a liability over here where at least a source of parnasa, of sustenance, which was forced to be given to her, she's not going to be getting anymore. So therefore, if he wants to retract by the woman, he could, because the shliach cannot be zeich of her because it's a liability regarding her mezainus. But regarding the slave, where there's no liability whatsoever, because even something like sustenance, the master didn't have to feed him, it's totally a schus, and therefore the shliach can be zeich in it. And once he got it already, it's already like it was the slave's, and therefore the master can't retract anymore, even if the slave didn't get it yet. Now, Amalahem, however, Meir said to Chachamim, But it's not true. But there is a liability for his slave, because by receiving this get shichur, the slave now becomes invalid. He becomes unable to receive minhat truma, to be able to eat from truma. Let's say if the master is a kain, where even if, let's say, the master is not feeding him, but at least the slave can have the availability of getting certain produce, which are that of a truma. Kishem shu paisles ishtai, just like it's creating a psul for his wife when he divorces her. So obviously it is a liability because he's not going to be able to eat from truma anymore. So Amr loy, so the Chacham responded to Remeya, says, nah, what do you mean? Mneshu kinyanai. What do you mean? This that he's becoming puzzel from truma when he's receiving the get, is only because up until now he was the acquisition, he was the owned property of the kohen up until now. Now, when he gets freed, so he's not going to be his kinyan anymore, he's not owned by him anymore, and therefore, the fact that truma is what he's losing, that's only because it's bound up in being the kinyan, but kinyan is totally a liability. And the Gemara is going to explain exactly what is it that Chachamim responded to Remeya. Now, relating to the topic of our Mishnah, the Gemara says that Yosef Rav Huna, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, Kamed Rabbi Yirmiyah. There were these two Amirom that were sitting in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah. The Yosef Rabbi Yirmiyah became an Amir. Yirmiyah was sitting and he was dozing off. The Yosef Rav Huna became Rav Huna was sitting and he said as follows. He said, Shema minam ad Rabbanu. We can make an inference from the opinion of the Rabbanan, who they said, not like Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah, that the Shliach could be Typhus, again, which means to say that he could be Zoicha, meaning on his own. He could step up and play a role which wasn't authored to him by the master. The master said, be the shliach l'alach, I want you to deliver it. He, on his own, however, he can grab a hold of the document through the merit of the slave that it's going to, and therefore, even if at a later point in time, before it gets to the Eved, the master wants to retract, and at that point in time, if he retracts, then the shliach is not his shliach anymore, still we said that the Eved will be Meshuchra and the master can't retract, is because he's forcefully, the shliach, grabbing hold of it, even against the will of the mishaleach. Now, what you can infer from that is that hataif is, if a regular person from the marketplace grabs a hold of movable items from the properties of Reuven, lebal chayiv, for the purposes of Shimon, who's a creditor of Reuven, that kana, that other person has acquired that debt which is owed to Shimon by grabbing from Reuven. Because seemingly that's the same thing as the halacha of our Mishnah, where this is something which is a merit for, it's not a full-fledged bal chayiv, the Eved, but it's something that's within the framework of something that's allowed, that he's being allowed to go ahead and give this to the slave, and he could go ahead and jump up without the knowledge of the bal chayiv, again, which is what we're calling the Eved, who's getting this get is coming his way. He can go ahead and be zayichit for him. Same thing like a creditor who could go collect from his debtor. Someone else that's doing it for him could be kainit for him. Now, that the Gemara asks, Amalei Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, so Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, who was sitting there with Rav Huna, he asked him, so maybe take the inference even further. V'afilu b'makim shechav, is this even if where whoever is grabbing this would create a liability l'acherim, for other people, let's say for a Levi, where let's say Levi was also a creditor of Reuven. Now this other person went and grabbed this property from Reuven for a creditor called Shimon. Now by grabbing it for Shimon, he's creating a loss for Levi, because now Levi, who's a different creditor, now he doesn't have where to collect from Reuven. So on that is what Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef is asking Rav Huna, so you should say that even in such a case, the person who's being Tefes could be kinder, because our Mishnah seemingly is that same type of a case, where this Shliach, who's grabbing for the Eved, who again we're calling him, quote, like a Bal Chayiv, something that is being owed to him as this get is coming his way, it's creating a liability for the master because he's losing a slave now. And moreover, as we even see in the halacha, when he tries retracting, he can't retract because that shliach, that other person who's being teifizit for the balchayv, for the eved, is being kainit. So seemingly you see that this halacha of teifizit balchayv is kainit, even if it's chav lachrin, even if it's creating a liability for someone else. So Amalei answer, everyone said, yeah, right. You could even infer that from the halacha of the Rabban of our Mishnah. Now the Gemara tells us that Adahachi, in the interim of this discussion, Ituhu Buhu Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah woke up from his dozing off. So Amalahu, he said to them, Dardiki, little children, Hachi Amar B'yechanan. This is what Rabbi Yechanan said. Hatayvis l'balchayiv, if some other person grabs for a creditor from the debtor's property, But makim shechab lacherim, in a place where it's going to create a liability for another person, loikana, he has not acquired it. You have no right. Because, yes, maybe the person himself could grab it, but you as an outsider, if it was totally only owed to one person, maybe, but when it's going to create liability for someone else, you have no right to mix in. Now, the imtem and mishnah say no. However, if you're going to say like you both were saying, but what do you say with the halacha of our mishnah, where seemingly it sounds like from our mishnah that you could be kainit, even though it's a chav lacherim for the master, Rabbi Yirmiyah said no. The halacha of our mishnah is a different principle. Whenever anyone says give, it's like as if he said merited. In other words, this is not like a regular case of tevis lachayim. Rather, the master made the shliach someone to be zeich in it. Now, even though the slave doesn't know, but that is, as we mentioned in the Mishnah, the halachic principle of zachon adam shleib b'fonav. He could merit it. And therefore, the reason why the master can't retract is not because the shliach on his own jumps in and says, oh, I'm going to merit it for the slave. No, that's part of the agency that the master was telling him. If he says, tenu, give it, it's like he's saying, merit it already. And therefore, once he merited, since it's a schus, so you could do that shleib b'fonav, and it's like the eved got it already, and that's why the master can't retract, but not because that as if the shliach is doing it on his own as a teifes abachay. Because teifes abachay, v'makom shechav lachem, which is like the case over here, that would be a chav for the master, he actually wouldn't be able to do that. Now, however, Amrav Chizda, although Rabbi Yirmiyah has said that the halach is that if you're teves l'balchayv, if makom shechav lachem, you can't be kaina, but Rav Chizda actually says, hateves l'balchayv, if someone grabs something for a creditor, but makom shechav lachem in a place where it's a liability for someone else, he says, banu l'machloikis Rabbi Eliezer Rabban. He says, actually, machloikis tanoim between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabban that did not like within the Mishnah Masechtas Peah. The Mishnah there talks about me regarding somebody who's a wealthy landowner. Shalikit esapeya va'amar, where he started gathering the corner of his field. There's many different matnas on him, gifts that have to go to the poor. One of them is the corner of the field, you have to leave it over for the poor. Now, obviously, a wealthy landowner can't take pay. But he's gathering the corner of the field. Now, he says, why am I doing this? I'm wealthy, I'm not allowed to take it. He says, harezu lepleini ani, he says, I'm actually collecting this. There's a certain poor person that I know of, and maybe he can't get it to the field. I'm actually gathering it for him. Now, that's a type of a case where it's chav l'acherim, because, okay, great, you're helping out this poor person, but what about all these other poor people that now they're not going to get the corner of your field? That's a case of getting something for someone, but makom shechav l'acherim. So, Rabbi Eliezer, he says, zachalai. Says, the wealthy landowner has gotten it and merited for that poor person. The chachamim, they disagree. They say, no, you got to give it to the first poor person that comes into the field. He gets it because you cannot merit it for that poor person. So, seemingly, Rav Chizda is correct, that this is the machlokes tanoim. If you tevis l'machayv, again, which we said, we're qualifying what is a machayv, but again, for somebody that he is someone that's allowed to merit this thing, like the eved who's getting the get, or like the poor person regarding matnas aniyim, if you're doing it, but makom shechav lacherim, Rabbi Eliezer says that you're zeichet for him, and Chachamim say you're not. That Amameima said, and the Vitim, as some say, was Rav Papa, they said no. As we continue on top of Yud Bezim and Aleph, Dimalahi, maybe that's not the case. Maybe this is not what they're arguing about. Because Ad Kanla Kama Rabbi Eliezer Hasa, maybe only over there by the halacha of Peah that Rabbi Eliezer said that the wealthy landowner could be Zeichenet for that poor person. That's Eladim Migui. That's only because it's based on the principle of Migui, which means since. That there's a permitted way for him to have gotten it. So therefore, since he could do it himself, he could do it for someone else. How so? The halacha is, had the wealthy landowner wanted to, he could have declared ownerless all his properties. Now, what that would make him would be v'havaami. Then he would be halachically a poor person v'chazilei. Then the payah would be fit for him, for himself to take. Now, then, take it a step further, umiga de zachal l'nashe. Now we say, since he could merit it himself, so zachal l'chavre, so therefore, since he could merit it for himself, so then he could merit it for someone else. That's why Rabbi Eliezer says the wealthy landowner can merit it for a poor person because you have a migui and a migui, which allows him to do such a thing. Aval hacha, but over here, meaning regarding stam, a regular teifes l'bachayv, then lai. Where there, you're not a creditor. There's no migui to make you a creditor. Therefore, there, maybe Rabbi Eliezer would agree that teifes l'bachayv, but makom shechav lachem, would be lai kana. And the other way around, you could say too. V'had l'kami rabbanon hasam, and maybe only over there in the halach of peah did the rabbanon say that the wealthy landowner cannot be mezakenit for the poor person. That's el dechsev. That's only because it's based on the pasuk, which is vayikra. The pasuk says lo yislakid la'ani. Now, actually, that's not what the pasuk says. The pasuk says
that it says Beleket Kitzircha Loisalakit, the Leket, the Kitzircha, the Matnas Anim, you're not allowed to gather. Then the pasuk concludes, rather, you have to leave it over for a poor person or for the convert, people that don't have food. Now, however, but since the pasuk put la'ani v'lager tazev next to loisalakid, so we expound the smichas as if you read it together, as if it says loisalakid la'ani, which the drasha is loisalakid loy la'ani, that you, the wealthy landowner, cannot collect it and gather it for the poor person. That's why over there the Rabban say that he can't be zeichenit for him. Aval hachalai, but here in regular situation, who said that he wouldn't be able to? There's no pasuk that's not allowing it, like it says specifically by the matnas anim, by the gift to the poor. Maybe the Rabban would agree that a regular tevis malchayv, b'makib shechav lachem, actually would be kind of. Now, parenthetically, the Gemara asks, so Rabbi Eliezer, the way we just described, that he actually holds that the wealthy landowner could be mezakeit for the poor person, so hai loy salakid my avid lay. What does he do with the smichas sabsukim of loy salakid to ani if he actually holds that the wealthy landowner could be malakidit for the poor person? So the Gemara says, mi boyle, he needs it for a different drasha. Lahazar la ani al shalai. It's warning the poor person regarding his own field. In other words, if let's say you have a poor person that is fit for him to, he has a field himself, although he's poor and he's able to take matnas anim, but he has a corner, he has a field which has a corner, which could be in have the halachas of peah. The pasuk is warning him, although he himself is poor, he has to leave the corner of his field for the poor people. That's what loy salakid la'ani, saying that the poor person himself cannot gather because by his own field he has to leave it for others. But that's what Rav Papa is telling Rav Chisda. It's not necessarily the case to prove that the halacha of tovus b'chayv b'makos b'chav lachem is a machlokes tanaim, because we could say either way, that either one would hold, not necessarily the way you're trying to say it. He could hold either that it is kind of or it's not. And it could be specifically here regarding the halacha of peah, that the halacha would be different again, either because of gzeiras hakasev from the drasha of loy salakid la'ani, or because based on the principle of migui.